Welcome to the Electrical Current Podcast, where you'll hear interviews with inspiring guests, discussions on important trade topics, and encouraging messages for the future of our industry's workforce. Now here's your host, Thayer Long.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Electrical Current. This is your host, Thayer Long, and I am very excited today to introduce our very special guest that's here to stretch our imagination, Steve Killias from Legrand. Steve, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here, Steve. And as you heard me say, we're going to be stretching people's imaginations today about what's going on in the electrical industry. And before we get started, even though I know you're a very famous or infamous person in the electrical industry, I don't know which way you want to go, but if people don't know you, tell everyone a little bit about your background before we get started.
Sure. Well, currently I'm the Vice President of Contractor Industry Affairs and Programs for Legrand North America in our Electrical Wiring Systems Division. What that means is I work with the contractor industry. I work with the associations. I brand Legrand as a friend to the electrical construction contractor, to the electrician, and to the student apprentice. I've spent about 30 years in the industry, all over between some datacom things, but always on the manufacturing and on the manufacturing representative side of things. It's been very interesting to see, you know, the progression of things and how much has changed and how rapidly that continues to change. And I find this to be a fascinating industry, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Well, Steve, I think the industry is very fortunate that you're a part of it, because people don't have the benefit of, or may not have the benefit of knowing you personally. I can certainly attest that over the years, you and I have had some very, very interesting conversations about some kind of difficult topics, if you will, but also just some wonderful opportunities that are, you know, in front of the electrical industry right now. And I feel like everywhere I read and everything I see, this notion of a re-electrification of, you know, maybe not just our country, but but the entire globe is underway. You know, again, I think that that's going to present some sort of difficult challenges for the electrical industry, but more so it's going to really provide some really great opportunities. And because I think you have such a great pulse of what's going on in the industry and the various trends, I want to start with, what is this re-electrification, or what does electrification or decarbonization mean to you? When you hear that, what does that mean to you, and what does that mean to what should that mean to the industry?
Well, it's a big deal. I thought it was humorous at first when I heard about this electrification of everything, and I thought, gosh, I thought we'd done that, right? We have power everywhere in the country, but it's just much, much bigger than that. And as we start looking at what's trending and what's happening, you know, data centers are being built, huge data centers are being built at a very, very quick pace right now. And there's absolutely no sign of that slowing down. If you look, anybody who's seeing anything in the news about electric vehicles and EV charging, this is just exploding. I saw a statistic recently that if we were able to magically just make every car in the U.S. electric today, we couldn't possibly power them and charge them every day. We would need something like, you know, a third more electricity in this country. So there's just so much going on. You think about what's happening with lighting, what's happening with building controls, microgrids, people using alternative energies, even generators, and creating microgrids in neighborhoods or in parts of towns. You and I have talked about what used to be called digital electricity, which has now been defined by the National Electric Code, and it's called fault-managed power. And the opportunities for this are just exploding. So it's amazing to think what's coming, or I guess maybe even better to say it's already here, and to look at what the demand for this is. And I think that the interesting tie into this is, here we have exploding demand for more electricity and installing more of these systems. And yet the labor challenge continues. In fact, the labor force might even be shrinking. So this supply and demand are really mismatched, and that's going to create some interesting challenges for us.
Well, that is a definite challenge, and certainly as a purveyor, if you will, of workforce development, training, and opportunities here at IEC, that's obviously at the forefront of our minds. And I think it's going to be providing, again, some interesting opportunities, perhaps with how supply chain partners work together. And, you know, the various technologies that are going to be coming out, and what's the ease of installation? It's all going to be more about productivity, efficiency, doing more with less, right? Which is, you know, probably my least favorite saying, but because I feel like I'm doing that every day. But back to this sort of electrification. So, you know, you've mentioned all these different opportunities. So, but you also mentioned that there's going to be some challenges with just what's possible right now, right? So the statement that you made, you know, if we were to all of a sudden do it overnight, it would be tremendous strain on our existing grids and so forth. So how do you see this realistically playing out over, I don't know, maybe let's say the next 3 years? And what should contractors be really looking to do now to prepare themselves 3 years down the road?
Well, you know, the economy drives a lot of things. There's currently some uncertainty. Right now, the outlook, the contractors I speak with across the country, there's still a pretty healthy backlog out there. Every day we're seeing, well, for example, here in South Carolina, we're seeing new announcements almost daily about new opportunities and things coming into the state. Just in the last couple of months, we've had an EV manufacturer commit to a plant, a battery manufacturer for EV, and a battery recycler for these EV batteries. Things like this are going on all around the country. So the next few years look to be pretty exciting. And I think from the contractor's perspective, the question has to be, how am I going to do that, right? If the backlog is strong, we're using all the people we have. I belong to a local contractor association here in the Charleston area. And, you know, I hear people talking that I've stopped bidding new opportunities because I'm tied up for the next couple of years and I just can't touch it. You know, I'm starting to have to disappoint people. So what are we going to do, right? You said more with less. And yeah, that's kind of a corny little saying, but that's literally the truth. We are going to have to find a way as an industry working together to do more with the finite amount of resources that we have. And I think that's going to require some change. And some of this is already occurring, right? People are digitizing. They're adopting more in the way of software and tools that can make them more productive, moving tasks off of people and letting machines do it, if you will, right? We've talked about the industrialization of construction. That's part of it. Better tools, better processes, but it's going to take the industry working together. In other words, the contractor can't do this on their own. Right. They really need to partner with people in order to find ways to do this. There needs to be, as you're well aware, we can't lose this focus on workforce development.
Right.
We all have a need to attract people to this industry, whether it's a contractor, a manufacturer, our distributor partners. We all have some of these challenges with recruiting and training and then retaining the people that we need. So we can't lose that focus on workforce development. But even from your perspective, when you get somebody through an apprenticeship program and they turn out as a journeyman electrician, that's not the end of training, right? We're going to have to continually upgrade skill sets in order that we can do more with less. So digitization, the new tools and technology. I think another big thing to look at is standardizing. Contractors need to find a way to turn as much of a project into standard products. Can we get to a point where, say, 80% of what we install in a commercial type of construction is standard? And I can replicate that over and over and over and gain a lot of certainties and a lot of efficiencies. And then once you do find a way to standardize, how much of that can we move offsite or just prefabricate?
Right.
And I try to encourage a lot of contractors. We run into a lot of contractors. Some are very good at this, right? Others don't do it. They maybe don't have the staff. They don't have the space. Don't think they can move into that space. Well, that's okay, because a lot of prefabrication is out there to be purchased. And even some of the, a lot of our distribution partners are offering a lot of these services. So I would encourage contractors to standardize as much as you can, and then buy it if you can, and let your people take the skill sets you have and move them into higher value, higher order tasks, if you will. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. And that's why I love talking to you, because my brain is just turning over right now. And I want to sort of tell and share this with our audience in things that I've been hearing from contractors as I've been out in the field traveling. And we sort of said it at the beginning of this program, the installers, their supply chain partners, we all have to begin to stretch our imagination to boundaries of what's possible, because it's going to take a lot of imagination and creativity to rise up and meet the opportunities that are going to be in front of us. And, you know, you mentioned the industrialization of construction. You know, we had a program at our meeting not too long ago around modular construction. I know you said in a conversation with me earlier, you're going to be attending some more events around, let's call it hyper prefabrication, because that lends itself to efficiency, automation. Obviously there's a productivity and a savings that also comes into play there. These are things that for a very traditional industry, like I believe the construction industry is, it's a very traditional industry across all sectors.
Absolutely.
The industry has got to begin to think differently in order to get that work done. Now, the construction industry is still, I think, regional in some cases in nature, right? And so you're going to have, you know, labor rates are going to be, you know, vary across the country, for instance, and, you know, other types of requirements are what may be required up in one area of the country and not in the other. So to your point about standardization, do you see the construction industry becoming more standardized even across regions and geographies?
Yeah, because despite the labor piece of it, the physical part, the volumetric part, you know, of physically putting a building somewhere, that can be standardized.
Yeah.
And you see that, you know, if you look at people who roll out projects across the country, retailers, restaurants, certain businesses, you see very cookie cutter approach to things, right?
Yeah.
I've seen like a Waffle House, for example, they get brought out on a couple of trucks and it's almost like they appear within a couple of days, right?
Right.
So you can start to do bigger and bigger versions of this. And you know, that's a very simple way of looking at it. But I think a lot of people are starting to realize that creating a bespoke building and starting from scratch every time is just terribly inefficient.
It is,
and
right.
And no reason to do that. And if you start to see the hospitality industry, for example, is very high on this modularization and bringing things out in that manner, you start to look at these, they don't need to look alike. They might all be four stories and this many rooms and what have you, but the fascia of this building can be 100% unique.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that can be gained there. And I think we're going to see more of it. I think the owners are driving it. The need to cut costs, reduce the schedule, And honestly, reducing the schedule or having more certainty in it is much more important than necessarily the cost. Even if the cost is a wash, but they gain the schedule, that's a huge revenue opportunity for a hotel operator, for example. So, yeah, I think the drive to standardize on more is going to be important. The cost thing is where that will change. Okay. Like your labor rates that you mentioned, right?
Right.
It may make the cost factor a little different, but the schedule's becoming very, very important.
As a product manufacturer, like Legrand, like whom you work for, is there a drive or does this notion of standardization also apply to product as well? Individual electrical product and how that's installed, the complexity that's involved to maybe reduce the complexity of it. Is there anything going on over there, or has there been anything going on over there to help drive that efficiency?
We like to view productivity as people, process, and technology or product. So we can make a widget and we can say, hey, this is more productive because there's only two screws instead of three, or it comes out of the box pre-assembled. And those are advantages. And contractors are pretty fast recognizing those. But if it isn't there on time, or the person on site, or the person estimating, or the person designing doesn't know about that advantage, you can lose that advantage. So it's just as important to help with the skill sets. It's just as important to be in early. And we push this in a huge way. We want to engage with the contractor stakeholders the day they open the plans. Because that's when, as you know, drawings are incomplete today.
Right.
Contractors, whether they call themselves design build, they are, right? They're at least design assist. They're being asked to take the basic description of something and complete it and deliver it. So we want to be involved then, and it's very important to do that because they don't necessarily know what our capabilities are, that we can help them design assist, we can help them engineer, we can help them value engineer, in fact. So that's an important piece of it. So yeah, we want to innovate on the product side, but working together, we can innovate on the process and on the people part of it. An example, you know, in the branch circuit where we live, we want to help work together to innovate how that's delivered. And I always use this. I said, let's make it akin to the automotive or aircraft assembly plant. Nobody's pulling wire in an airplane, right? They're placing these harnesses in place. The same thing happens in an automobile. We don't necessarily do that today, but a lot of contractors are getting close by bringing the branch circuit out, you know, room in a box. Mm-hmm. Well, could we take that to the next level? And that's going to take us all sitting together day one.
In the design phase, right?
Yeah. How do we take it from, you've made it as productive as possible, but we got to get to the next level, and we're going to have to do that working together.
Well, speaking of next level, you know, I wanted to do also touch upon a little bit about the types of work that's going to be getting installed. And it has to do with really the types of power that we're going to be consuming, right? A lot of, you know, obviously we live in an AC world, but I know Legrand in particular, you guys are pretty strong market leaders, if you will, on that, in that sort of limited energy, low voltage world. And, you know, we're seeing certainly that crossover now within our electrical world, that I'm not going to say there's been bumping up, but there's definitely some more overlap on jobs, right, between AC and DC. And so what do you see? And again, as a speaking to the contractor, is there anything they need to begin to prepare differently for the types of work or the types of wiring and the types of devices that they're going to be installing that may be different from, you know, what they're currently doing now?
Well, if you look at how efficient things are getting, like lighting, for example, right? Mm-hmm. An awful lot of lighting can be done with 100 watts today. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, power over Ethernet and a lot of lighting being done even that way, that's going to, I think we're going to see that continue. Mm-hmm. But as we start realizing, again, this fault-managed power, this digital electricity, as people start to realize how much more can be done with lower and lower amounts of energy, mm-hmm. we're going to be able to do more on smaller cables, for example. What I would encourage the contractors is to not view this as a threat,
right,
but to see what these opportunities are and get out in front of it and go learn about these things. So we're not rolling out all kinds of new DC systems in the power world, but you can bet that we're watching this and we are starting to look at ways where this might be implemented. Right.
Yes.
So I would just encourage contractors to get a hold of as many resources as they can about the cutting edge things that are happening, and to rely on, you know, the resources that you have, for example, and pay attention and turn up at these things, because they are truly opportunities to be first and to get out ahead of these things. One of the things that I'd like to encourage people is just remember, as we're electrifying everything, and as we're getting into more sophisticated things, not only does your customer need you to engineer this and procure it and install it, but they need somebody to stay on and maintain it and service it,
right?
Which opens up a great opportunity to stay on with the customer.
Oh, yeah.
And those contractors who already have that service model know that's a very steady business, very profitable business. And I think you want to be the person, you want to be the firm that they see as totally encompassed in that. You help me select it, you put it in, and you help me run it.
Right.
And you know, that's going to be the opportunity.
Well, Steve, I feel like I could spend another hour with you just talking. I mean, I actually jotted a note down. I even wanted to talk about battery storage because I mean, thinking about the, you know, developments on the battery storage side, when you start talking about renewables, and, you know, that's going to be a whole nother frontier, which we're going to have to reckon with, right, in order to really take advantage of some of these other opportunities. But I did want to sort of give you the opportunity to, in summation, your three most interesting things right now in the electrical industry that contractors should be looking at.
Well, I think it's simply this explosion of this everything. The microgrid thing is fascinating. The expansion of alternate power, and as you mentioned, battery storage, I think we're going to see tremendous growth in those areas. The data business in general is just exploding. And again, we don't see any end in the foreseeable future of the expansion of data centers and all this services and things that go around that. I would encourage contractors to learn all they can about sustainability and these decarbonization efforts, because the more you contribute to that, the more value you bring. And I will tell you, your customers are paying strict attention to this, and it truly will be a competitive advantage.
Right.
So I would look at that very, very carefully. And then again, find partners both up and downstream that make you better. We will all be stronger together and be able to solve problems together and, you know, and take advantage of opportunities.
Steve, I think that's a great message. And, you know, on top of all of that too, you know, I hope our listeners were paying close attention to all these different developments that, even though we didn't kind of get into some of these in detail, which I think we should on a future edition here, that it's really the time to stretch the imagination. It's really time to change the perspective of the business, of the project, of what you're actually installing, and how that's going to change 3, 4, or 5 years down the road. And the fact that I think it's Moore's Law or something along those lines, that just, you know, that the pace of change now is going to just continue to steadily increase. And, you know, what might be cutting edge today could be mainstream 6, 7 years from now. And you don't want to be caught catching up when something's already been, you know, now can kind of consider mainstream. So I think start thinking about this now. And it may not have applicability to your business today, but I think most certainly everything you've mentioned is going to have applicability tomorrow.
Yeah, I saw a great little cartoon. It was some sort of ancient battle going on, and the commander in the tent was saying to somebody, he says, "I don't have time to see the salesman," and the guy was outside with a Gatling gun. You know.
Okay. Well, yeah. There you go.
My point is, you've got to start asking what ifs and why nots. Just open your minds and take a look at things. There's some interesting things going on, and you know, sit down with people and start looking at the what ifs and why nots.
Steve, thank you very much for your time. Really enjoyed it.
I did too. Thank you.